Well, we're going to get in on with the subject for today. And I just thank God, Lord Jesus, thank you. The word that was put on my heart, the scripture that was put on my heart was Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. Now, I do not think that it is, and I do not believe that it's an accident or it just so happened. Whenever God gives me a word to share, I believe it's a right now word. It's a rhema word. It's an on time word. And so this is the word, Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the day the devil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, my first point, I have 7 points here that I'm going to share with you. And the first point is the point regarding the belt of truth. Stand firm in the belt of truth buckled around your waist, Ephesians 6:14. The belt of truth involves two places, our hearts and our minds. Truth keeps us secure in Christ and makes effective all the other pieces of our armor. The belt of truth holds our armor in place. Commit yourself daily to walk in the light of God's truth. The scripture, Psalms 86:11, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. That may be something you want to say daily so that you can just be reminded that you are needing to be taught by God, being taught his ways. Hallelujah. So that you may live according to his truth. Point two, the breastplate of righteousness. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, Ephesians 6:14, it says, a soldier with a breastplate goes into battle boldly with confidence. The devil is constantly attacking with lies, accusations, and reminders of past sins. Without the breastplate of righteousness, these are the lies of the enemy, will penetrate your heart. Become aware of who you are in Christ Jesus. Come boldly into his presence. Elder Tanya has prayed concerning God's love. Know that you are loved and you can come to your Father anytime in the name of Jesus. And if you know your love, that you are loved, you will just come straight to him. When you're heavy-hearted, even when you're happy, you'll come to him. So the breastplate of righteousness. Now we're going to look at the shoes. The shoes are the piece of preparation. For shoes put on the piece that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Ephesians 6:14. Shoes allow us to step freely and without fear while we turn our full attention to the battle at hand. They aid in our movement and defense. The shoes God gives propel us onward to proclaim the true peace which is available in Christ. Preparing yourself to follow the Lord no matter what. We were reading I believe it was in 2 Kings 3:7, I believe. And it was talking about the four lepers. I'm not exact of which scripture it was, but we were talking about the four lepers and how they were starving and they wanted to go into a town but God in his mercy and his grace the enemy was ran out of their camp, and the lepers went on in, and they went to the first tent, and they sat down and ate, and they got the possessions, and they went and hid the possessions, and then they go to another tent, and they sat down there, and they ate, and one of them said, you know, this is not right. We're not doing right. Because we're not going and telling the good news of what has just happened, what's available to us. Then the thing about it was, they said, this is not right. And one thing that God would have us to do, we need to share our testimony. We need to tell the good news. A lot of times you'll hear a person say, well, my life is private. My life is private. Well, your life is not your own anymore when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, he uses your life to be able to give others to know that, to see how he moves. And he's still alive today. So tell the good news. The shoes of the preparation, the shoes of peace and preparation. Then we have the shield of faith. Above all, take the shield of faith with you, and you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's Ephesians 6:16. The shield not only defends our whole body, but also our armor. The shield of faith has a very specific function, which the Bible makes abundantly clear. It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not some, but all the fiery darts. The shield moves with the attack, no matter the direction. Can you imagine yourself standing in one position and let's say the kids is, we're playing, what is it, water ball, water balloons, and you have a big shield, and you know the children around you, and you turn one way, you know a balloon is coming at you one way, you turn it, and you use that shield to repel the impact of that water. Well, the shield of faith can go any direction to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. I pray that that gave you a good vision. And I pray in the name of Jesus that that if there is anything such as something like scales on your eyes, I pray that they fall off right now in the name of Jesus, that you may see exactly what God is saying concerning his word, and that we can walk in that truth and we can say, oh, I got it now. So now we have point five is the helmet of salvation. Take this helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6:17. Satan targets your mind. Satan's weapons are lies. The enemy wants to make us doubt God and our salvation. The helmet protects our mind from doubting the truth of God's saving works for us. Since we belong to the day, we must be serious and put the armor of faith and love on our chest. But put on the helmet of hope of salvation. You know, I heard a story about a precious young lady. She's a minister of the gospel, and the enemy had attacked her in such a way that she began to doubt her salvation. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come after your mind and get you to doubt. And he will try to come. Don't think that you're no better than anyone else. So the thing that I would say to you is to stay committed, stay focused to your prayer time, to your word. Stay focused, because the enemy will try to slip in wherever he sees an opportunity. So stay focused so that he cannot come in with a lie, okay? In the name of Jesus. So what's going on in your mind right now? What kind of lies the enemy telling you right now? Is he telling you you're not worth it? Is he telling you that you don't deserve something? What is he telling you? Well, find out what the Bible says about your situation. There are so many times that I have had encounters where something had occurred in my life, and I would say, Lord, tell me where in the Bible did this happen with somebody so I know how to handle it. Show me in your word, God. And not knowing that he would do it, I just would ask. I was just asking. This is when I was young. And sure enough, if it wasn't that God would use someone to share with me a story in the Bible, and they would have not even known that I had talked to God about this. And or it could have been a preached word coming over the television or the preach word coming over the radio station, but I got my answer. And God would show me how the situation was handled in the word. And then I was reminded that God is no respecter of person. What he do for one, he can do for another. So I held on to that. God, if you can do this for them, then you can do it for me. And so, praise God, the helmet of salvation. Amen. Then 6, we have the sword of the Spirit. Put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. The sword is the only weapon of offense in the armor, but it is also a tool for defense. Strongholds, arguments, and thoughts are all weapons the enemy uses against us. With the sword of the Spirit, God's word, the people are equipped to deal with them all. We need to trust in the truth of God's word. Now, can you sit down and say that you really trust in the truth of God's word? I know that there were times when I would sit down and I would read something in the Bible and I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. But because I didn't believe it. Then one thing that I was honest with God, and I would say, Lord, I'm having a hard time believing this in your word. I'm challenged. Enlarge my capacity to receive and understand and to believe in you. Enlarge my capacity. And I would even pray the prayer of Jabez, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And I put that territory as my understanding. That territory is my capacity to receive. Whatever that territory that I needed at the time, I'd say, oh, God, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And that your hand would be with me that I not may not cause pain. Because I didn't want to be nobody's stumbling block. And you don't want to be no one's stumbling block. So, oh, that he would bless us indeed and enlarge our territory. Hallelujah. That his hand may be with us and that we may not cause pain. And the Bible says, and God granted that request to Jabez. Amen. Okay, I had to bring that in there. Have confidence in the value of God's word. Get a hunger. Get a desire for it. If you don't have it, ask. God, give me a great hunger. Give me a desire for your word. Give me to want to know you for myself. God said in his word, the Bible says that he will hold no good thing from us. So if you want it, ask. Ask. Point 7 is prayer. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You know, I just give you a visual of staying alert. Is when me and my mom would go out to the restaurants, and one time we went out to have dinner, and while we were at this particular restaurant, I like to sit where I can see. And I was sitting where I could see everything around me, and we were enjoying our dinner, and I saw these few like three young men come in the door, and it was just something, the atmosphere changed in the building. And I said, God, something ain't right. And I watched them, you know, but they didn't know I was watching them, but I was looking. And I ended up realizing where one had stood on one side of the building in the corner. Then another one found another location in another corner on the side of the, in the building. And they were standing. Nobody was paying attention. I'm looking at the people that's eating and stuff. Nobody's paying attention to them. And then one had went, like going toward the bathroom. And the owner happened to be passing by me at the time, and I pulled her over to me. I just asked her to come, and she came over to where I was at. And I asked her, I said, are those guys bad news? And she said, where? I said, there was three guys that came in a few minutes ago, and she looked up. She said, yes, ma'am. I said, okay, I kind of figured. Well, one of the things, we have to stay alert. Ask God to give you a discerning spirit. You need to be able to discern what's going on around you, being alert to the things that's going on around you. Because the Holy Spirit may tell you to get up and move, or the Holy Spirit may tell you to start praying. We don't know what he would tell you to do, but he'll give you instructions. Amen? So stay alert. Ephesians 6:12 says again, for the struggle is not against flesh and blood. Remember, you're not fighting with your brother, your sister, your mom, or even your coworker. Your struggle is not against them. You got to remember who your struggle is against. But it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Remember, your struggle is not against your coworker. I want to share this story again about how God had me to bless one of my coworkers. At the time, we weren't getting along, so I called her my enemy, but she's my friend now. And she and I used to sit close together. We sat side by side, and we just did not appreciate one another, and we act like it too. So I think you can kind of see where we were at. Well, this particular day, it was in the morning, and I had just gotten done with my worship with the Lord, my Bible time, and I had bought quite a bit of sweet pea. I like to store up on my sweet pea, because I don't like to run out. And so I was storing up on all my products, you know, the shower gel and the lotion and the splash and all of that. And I would get about six or seven of each, you know. And so that means you're not going to run out right away. Well, the Lord told me to give her some of my sweet pea. Now understand, I like my sweet pea. And I store it up on that product for me. And you know, and I was just learning the voice of the Lord. And he said, give her a bottle of sweet pea. And I was like, I know that ain't God. So I dusted off. I swatted that word off like a fly. It was like as if it was a fly, and I had a swat fly swat, and I swatted that word away. The next day, the Lord said it again. He said, give her a sweet pea. I said, God, now I know you're not telling me to give her my sweet pea. You know I buy this sweet pea for me so that I don't run out. Well, I finally gave in, and I said, Lord, I think you said to give her some sweet pea, so I'm going to do it, even if I might be wrong, but I'm gonna just going to give it to her. And so what I did was, the Bible talks about blessing your enemies, and so in that, I took her a bottle of sweet pea, but I didn't have a good attitude about it. I had a lemon face, you know, like as if I had been sucking on a lemon. And before I got into her presence, the Lord told me, he said, you better be happy about this. You better hope you like doing this. And God knows how to check me. And with that, I said, uh-oh, and I changed my face. It's just like when a child is crying and you ain't got no reason to be crying when we were little, and your daddy, my daddy would say, you better straighten your face up, boy, you suck it up. Well, that's the way it sounded to me. God was saying, you better straighten up. So I gave her some sweet pea, and do you know that when I gave it to her, it was like something strange to her, and she looked at me, but because of that act, God blessed our relationship. We became the best of friends. And so I just want to share that. We are not struggling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, praise God, this is the word of the Lord. He said, put on the armor of God. I have a minute left, and I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up the listeners to you. I ask, Father, that you would send forth your ministering angels to remove something like scales and to open up the spiritual ears, that they may hear and hear clearly. If there's any type of blockage, natural or supernatural, Father, we ask that you open it up. I just say, be open in the name of Jesus. I cancel every assignment that's been set up against your people today in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus was placed on the door. No, that the blood was placed on the doorpost and the death angels passed over. How much powerful is the blood of Jesus? Now, I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every person. And Father, the flu viruses, the all kind of strains that are going on right now, I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory. We give you honor. Amen and amen.